August 11th, for he showed me the wonders of his love. Today's scripture readings come from the following four passages. Nehemiah 1, chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 3, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 24. Psalm 31, verses 19 through 24. And Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4. Following on the heels of the book of Ezra, we start a new book today, authored by Nehemiah in the first person. Nehemiah, a cupbearer and possibly a high official in the court of King Artaxerxes of Persia, finds favor with the king to be appointed as governor of Judah, and goes down to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of the city. Nehemiah accomplishes what he has set out to do, and by the end of the third chapter, we learn all the details of how the walls have been rebuilt, and the men who have been credited for the rebuilding effort are cited by name. Turning next to our continued reading in the book of 1 Corinthians, we find Paul giving advice concerning marital matters. He speaks frankly about the expectations that ought to exist and be observed between married couples. Paul says in verse 5, "Do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all of you were as I am. But each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that." And to the single people, Paul has this classic advice. In verse 8 he says, "Now to the unmarried and the widows I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do, but if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with a passion." Also, Paul advises tolerance amongst couples where the one might be a believer and the other might not. He says in verse 12, "If any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband." Finally, in this chapter, Paul speaks to the matter concerning change of status from non-believer to believer. He stresses that this change is not an outwardly one based on appearance or reputation, but one that is of the heart. Therefore, it matters not if some are circumcised and others are not, as also if some are slaves and others not. There is no distinction from one to the other in God's sight. And he says this in verse 24. Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, each person, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation they were in when God called them." Turning now to our psalm for the day, we find we are still in Psalm 31. And all six verses are so beautiful that I reproduce them here in their entirety. May it be that, like David the psalmist, we are also of the same mind to give high praise to our God, who truly shows us the wonders of his love, quote unquote, wonders of his love. David says in verse 19, "How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all, on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love. When I was in a city under siege, in my alarm I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you hope in the Lord. Finally, one verse from the book of Proverbs in which Solomon, the wise king of Israel, reminds us of two qualities that we would all be better off without. He says in verse 4, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the unplowed field of the wicked produce sin. May God bless the reading and reflection of his word. Today we have one comment from fellow blogger, Eric Schwister, who says, interesting concept, but what does this mean? In verse 14, for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. My response to Mr. Schwister is as follows. I must admit I did not feel qualified to address this question and therefore consulted this online commentary from which I quote or paraphrase these thoughts, these views rather. The commentary is as follows. I think the problem had arisen because of what Paul had said or thought or taught in Corinth that is reflected in chapter 6, where he speaks about, quote, your bodies are members of Christ, unquote, and how wrong it was to take the members of Christ, the physical body that belongs to Jesus Christ, and to involve it with the temple prostitutes of Corinth. That was a defiling act, and perhaps many had inferred from that any kind of sexual union with an unbeliever was a defiling act. That now you have a marriage where one is a Christian and the other is not, and the Christian in that marriage is saying, do my sexual practices in marriage mean that I am taking the members of Christ and defiling them with an unbeliever? And Paul's assurance is, no, you are not. As the book of Hebrews says, quote, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, Hebrews 13:4. The marriage, therefore, remains unchanged. In fact, the apostle says, a wonderful thing occurs. Instead of defiling, it is the other way around. It is the believing mate that, in a sense, sanctifies the unbeliever. Now, that does not mean saves them or, quote unquote, regenerates them. That is always an individual matter left up to the individual's faith. What it means is no defilement is involved when sexual union occurs in such a marriage, but rather it sets the unbeliever apart for a special treatment by the Lord. There is a strong exposure to a loving witness that is very difficult for him or her to resist, and it may very well ultimately lead that unbelieving mate to the Lord. Paul does go on to say that if things are too bad, however, it's okay to call it quits. He says in verse 15, but if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. The brother or the sister is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? I trust this is helpful. God bless you, and thank you for sharing. Thank you.